Good morning, friends. It's always good to me, to be back here, because I consider Old First not only my home, but in some ways my birthplace. Those of you who don't know, this is where I was ordained 44 years ago. Thank you for that. The Gospel according to Matthew. No one can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. For is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet God feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, or maybe the compost bin, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What shall we wear? For it is the unbelievers who strive for all these things. And indeed, God knows that you need all these things. Strive first for the realm of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Actually, the translation that was given me to read used the word worry, which is really the right word, but the one I was working from at home with the older translation was anxious. Anxious can mean two things: eager, fired up, ready to go, let's get this show on the road. Or the other one, worried, nervous, fearful. This is usually rendered as a noun, anxiety. And our drug-addicted culture, and we are a culture that believes in better living through chemistry. Our drug-addicted culture, our drug companies tell us that we need never endure anxiety. There are drugs for that. Now, Jesus does not tell us that we should never be anxious. He tells us that we should not be worried. We should not be focused on material things and the means of acquiring them. He doesn't say that having some money and some things are inherently evil. He says, don't let that become the object of your affection, the organizing principle, the goal of your life, the heart of your heart. Indeed, there are some things about which we, as faithful disciples of the God of peace, as devoted followers of the Prince of Peace, there are some things that we really must be anxious about. Anxious in both meanings of the word. Things that are happening in our world, in our culture, in our society that worry us and should, and that hopefully fire us up to be change makers. Definitely avarice. Institutional greed. The goal of the acquisition of money so as to be able to acquire even more money by a privileged few and their lackeys. This plays a big role in those societal conditions now that rightfully worry us. There's an effort in the residential neighborhood where I live to organize an aging in place network, neighbors helping neighbors, so that old people like me may stay longer in their homes. These are people who have worked hard all their lives, but are now threatened with reductions in Social Security payouts, meager as those are, which they have been paying into for decades. And friends, don't let yourself be fooled by some of the rhetoric you hear. Fire up your computer and go to Save Social Security, get the facts, and join the movement. Because what's happening now will impact the poor the most. In any case, in our neighborhood, there are lots of widows and widowers, single people, couples who cannot afford to move into retirement places, even if there were enough of those places to accommodate all of us. One of my neighbors is a disabled military veteran. He and I talked about the scores of veterans whose memorials I led over four decades in the Tenderloin, homeless veterans, or those living in single-room hotels, veterans who are roaming our streets, raging, or nearly comatose with depression and deprivation, those who are self-medicating with alcohol and street drugs, and some of them start staring mad. People we sent out to kill or to be killed and then abandoned into poverty and suffering. And Tom, my neighbor, said softly, all that money still being spent on weapons, on the military, lots of which we will never use, and it seems like the people getting the benefits are the fat cats making the weapons. Why do we keep doing that? Why indeed? Budgets are moral issues. Here's another possibility for you. Find ways to get involved with those people who are working to change our national priorities. Be anxious about a national budget which now supports over 700 military bases around the world, draining the lifeblood from efforts to relieve the suffering of the poorest, the young, the old, the forests, waters, winds, and animals which God has entrusted to us. I think most of you know that a part of our ministry, for Network Ministries, my own ministry, has been to establish the safe house for homeless women who are escaping prostitution. At there, we have received women military veterans who suffered many of the same traumas that the men did, but they also suffered sexual assaults from fellow soldiers and especially superior officers. Like all the women who come to Safe House, they were homeless when they came, addicted, renting their bodies in order to survive. One of our most successful graduates, herself an Iraq War veteran, went to City College while she was at Safe House and discovered she was a financial wizard. She's now working as a bookkeeper in a pretty good-sized firm. At the same time, she's pursuing academic courses which would train her to support other women in transforming their lives in the way that she has. Her biggest dream is to return to her home state of Mississippi and establish a place like Safe House there. She'll make it. Keep Tony in your prayers. Another woman, Karen, called a few days ago just to check in, she said. Karen was one of our earliest graduates, so beautiful, so very, very bright, so deeply wounded. But Karen left Safe House too early, and she relapsed into her old ways. Many, many months after she left, as I was returning to the network office on Ellis Street, I found Karen standing at the office door waiting for me. We embraced. I always loved her. She came in. We talked a little bit, and she left. And a little bit later, I discovered my cell phone was missing. There were three network staff people in the office with eyes on Karen the whole time. I mean, you have to admire that level of skill. More time went by, and then a letter came from jail, confession, regrets, promises to repay the cost of replacing that cell phone. Please, to be allowed to come back to Safe House. You know, we all need forgiveness, and we need many chances to change as well as to make restitution. 5 years later, Karen calls. She is still clean and sober. She has a nice studio apartment, and she has progressed from being a night monitor in a rehab program to being a supervisor. While she was still at Safe House, Karen completed an internship with the SPCA, thanks to the unique job readiness program which Safe House offers. They gave her a little dog, and she said, "I have to make it this time because he's depending on me." Animals can be angels, God's messengers. There's a place in Sebastopol operated by a woman who herself has almost three decades of recovery from drug addiction. And like so many of our Safe House women, she wants to give back, to heal in the way that she was healed. She rescues racehorses from slaughter. She works a full-time job during the week in order to support the ranch. And on weekends, she leads programs for women who are trying to get out of drug addiction, and she has a contract to work with women military veterans who are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Women and racehorses, exploited, beaten, broken down, and thrown away, they come together to heal each other, and it works. Safe House is seeking funds to enter into a partnership with this place to send our women there to interact with these big and powerful animals so that they may heal each other. Two homeless dogs who came to live with me have gone into Safe House again and again these past 16 years, working their own magic. One woman there was so withdrawn, so deeply traumatized after years of a childhood sexual assault by her father and indifference from her mother, followed by a gang rape on our streets. She was virtually mute. And when she did speak, her voice was so soft as to be almost inaudible. One day, she came in for a money management training session. I had gone up to the second floor and stopped, and the dog had gone on up to the third. And when Tanri appeared, she was standing erect and open and beaming. There's just a different energy when there's a dog in the house. The dog had gone to her, nudged her, waited for her to ruffle his soft fur. All the while, those big brown eyes melting that cold lump inside of her. And something changed. Unconditional love was offered and accepted. She has a long way to go, but at last, she's on her way. Evelyn came in to Safe House tired after volunteering at the soup kitchen where she was cleaning up after the meal. She said she had found herself looking at the people coming to the soup kitchen in the same way that people had once looked at her. She was shocked and ashamed. Then she said she heard God speaking to her, "Surrender your pain to me." She said, "I've been in jail, in prison, in other programs that didn't work. I've been homeless, I've used drugs, I was trapped in prostitution, and now I want to give all that pain to God. And together we can make it into something that will help other people. God has called me. I know it. I don't know how this will work out, but I know it will. Pray for me, please, right now. I want to surrender my pain to God so it doesn't keep dragging me down. Our women were invited to a weekend at the Jesuit Retreat Center. Rosie returned from that and said, "I am experiencing joy I never thought I could have. When I walked into that room in the center, I didn't think I was worthy to be there. And then music started. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." Now, she said, "I can open up and look at all that stuff that I'd crammed down inside of me. This is hard and it's scary, but I'm changing and I'm finding beauty inside too. I'm finding ways to give back the joy that Safe House has opened up for me." And yet, the Safe House for Homeless Women Escaping Prostitution has to struggle and strain and beg for money to keep going. There are people working on major tax reforms that would make it possible for redemptive ministries like Safe House to have adequate and secure funding. Listen, maybe God is calling you to become a part of the tax revolution. We can learn so much from the women of Safe House. Humility, like the psalmist. "My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and marvelous for me. Like a child quieted at its mother's breast, so quieted is my soul." We can learn from them a deep joy that cannot be contained. Like Isaiah expressed, "Exult, break forth into singing, all creation, let the mountains sing aloud." We can learn from them a day-by-day trust in the Holy One. We can learn from them to dream the dreams of God, to hear the messengers of God, whatever form they take, calling us to be healers. How can this happen? Who knows? Just start in the way that God calls you. Do not be anxious, drained by worry, controlled by a fear about material things. Do be anxious. Be eager. Be fired up to engage in the work of peace, justice, and harmony for all. Dream the dreams of God, and then make them into reality. One of the women I cited above just shared this quote with me, and I close with it. "Doubt killed more dreams than failure ever did."